throats today, so hopefully you can hear me today. The title of my message is Anointed for Burial. And there is a very precious woman in Scripture who had a deep love for the Lord Jesus. And who is this woman? Is Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Mary had such a sensitivity to spiritual truth that she sat at Jesus' feet, listening so intently to every word that he said that she forgets to help her sister Martha prepare the meal. She also witnessed the raising of her brother Lazarus from the dead. Mary is so thankful that she is not able to contain herself. On this special night where a dinner is given in Jesus' honor, in celebration of the miracle of Lazarus being brought back from the dead. And we all remember the story. You know, in Jewish thought, you could be raised, if it was 3 days, you could still be raised. But the fourth day, your body decomposes. So there's no hope. That doesn't stop Jesus, does it? So we can have hope no matter what. And you know, when he called Lazarus out, we know he had to call him by name or everybody would have been raised from the dead. But you know, he didn't remove his grave clothes, did he? He had them remove them. He let them participate in the greatest part of the miracle, to set a dead man free from his grave clothes. So Mary anoints Jesus with a very special oil that was worth a year's wage. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to become our sacrificial lamb. As we begin to look into Passion Week, open our spiritual eyes to see and understand what has been provided for us because of the cross of Christ Jesus. Prepare our hearts to receive this precious gift as we look into your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, because there's a plot to kill Jesus. So when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. So the Lord had scheduled way back in Exodus that there would be three times of year that the Jewish people were to honor the Lord by keeping festivals. And so hundreds of thousands of Jewish pilgrims came to Jerusalem for the Passover. And the religious leaders knew that many people admired Jesus, and many who have seen him and what he has done now believed. So the plot thickens as Caiaphas makes a profound statement that is a prophetic utterance from the mouth of an enemy. You know, right there, that ought to be, you know, the enemy can give a prophetic utterance. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 49 through 52. We're getting a little personal look into what was happening. And while we're turning there, Don and I have actually been in Caiaphas' home. And there is a, I don't know how to describe it other than there's like a cellar or something, and it's just a hole. And so you have to be dropped in there. I mean, that's where they held Jesus. You know, there was no way you were getting out. It was just a hole. And then you're in the cellar, in this damp place. But anyway, getting back to John 11, 49 through 52. Then one of them came named Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year, and he spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. He had no idea, Caiaphas did, that he was prophesying the death and resurrection of the Lord. Here he thought he was just doing the right thing by getting rid of this man that was causing such a disruption. So Jesus' death would not only be for the salvation of Israel, but for all mankind. Not only geographically, but those divided culturally and spiritually, all mankind, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, would be drawn to Jesus as he would be lifted up on the cross for our sin. Caiaphas had ironically stated the true meaning of the death of Jesus in a way that was directly opposite to what he thought. Doesn't it seem like we're kind of living in that area today where the enemy, which is causing chaos amongst, well, you know, everybody is separate. You know, if you're white, you're different from the blacks. Or if you're black, you're different from the Spanish. Or you're different from the Indian. The enemy has literally tried to pull apart the family of God. He is the God, and the little g, the devil, of disorder and chaos. But now, the hour has come. Mary is anointing Jesus at Bethlehem. Well, I should say at Bethany. It's one of the most memorable acts of great love given in Scripture by someone besides the Lord himself who loved us enough to give his life. You know, there are several aspects to this story that are worth noting, but in order to get the whole story, we need to check out all of the Gospels. You know, we can all look at something and what's important to us at that moment. That's what we focus on. So that's what you would write about. So we need to look at them all in order to get the full story about what happened this wonderful night. So we're going to be going to Matthew 26, verses 6 and 7. And here we have the setting. A man called Simon the leper hosted a dinner to honor Jesus and celebrate Simon's own healing from leprosy and the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. So beginning at verse 6 of Matthew 26. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as she was reclining at the table. So we see that she first anointed his head. Now we're going to look at John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus had arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. So all four Gospels have an account of a woman anointing Jesus. John does not state, as Matthew and Mark do, that the host at Bethany was Simon the leper. And in the story of Luke chapter 7, the host is Simon the Pharisee. And this was actually at Capernaum. And it's a different Simon from the one mentioned in Mark. You know, I really struggled when I looked these all up. My husband can attest. I couldn't figure out why there was such a funny discrepancy here. It seemed like it. But Simon was a common name, and so is Mary, actually. Now, the one who anointed Jesus that we're referring to today with the alabaster jar is Mary, the sister of Lazarus and of Martha. The woman in this story happened a year earlier, but it was about the same time, and it was Mary Magdalene. It talks about in there how it was a woman who was, you know, of ill repute, was a harlot, but she loved Jesus too. So in John chapter 12, verse 2, it tells us that Martha is in her usual place of serving. And Lazarus, never more fresh and alive, is at the table with Jesus. So Mary, Martha, and the disciples were all in attendance. Points of gratitude for Lazarus' resurrection was a good reason to celebrate. And since Martha served the dinner at the home of Simon the leper, some think that he was either a relative or that was Martha's husband. Hadn't even thought of that. Point number two, the anointing. And we're going to look at John chapter 12, verse 3. Mary anoints Jesus' feet. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This was a symbol of consecration for that divine work which Jesus was about to do. It was an early preparation for his death. Also, it is a pledge of honor reserved for royalty. In a few days, Jesus will enter as an anointed king. Why would that be? This is Friday, and on Sunday is Palm Sunday. He would be riding through with, they would be laying palm branches and their cloaks, and they would be worshiping him with all of their might and their soul. When a guest would enter a home, usually the guest's feet were washed with water, and their head would be anointed with a drop of oil of perfume. Now we read in Matthew that she had already anointed his head, and now she is anointing his feet. She used precious oil to anoint Jesus' feet. Since this is usually done by a slave, Mary showed great humility and great devotion. Not only did she give the gift of the expensive oil, she also wiped his feet with her hair. This was not something a Jewish woman would do in public. Her hair was let down, which is usually covered in the presence of others. And her heart went out to her Lord. And she gave great expression to her feelings. Mary was so consumed with her selfless act that when love and understanding and gratitude merge into one, she expressed her devotion to her Lord and honored him. She had sat at his feet and listened with rapt attention to his every word. She knew that her Lord was destined to die and wanted to express the extent of her love while he was still alive. You know, the disciples were told how many times by Jesus himself that he was going to soon have to give his life. And they just kind of blew it off, I think. But Mary heard it, and so she prepared him for what was about to happen to him. So point number three, Judas objects to Mary's extravagant gift. And so we're going to continue in chapter 12 of John in verses 4 through 6. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. In a short time, Judas would betray Jesus. His betrayal was so much darker when contrasted with the brightness of Mary's devotion to Jesus. Judas probably objected to Mary's gift because he was ashamed of his simple and powerful display of love. of her symbol, I should say. You know, sometimes how someone else worships or how someone shares their love for the Lord can make you feel a little ashamed inside because you don't have that same thing. So this is kind of where Judas was at. He had successfully hid the darkness in his heart to everyone except Jesus. You can't hide anything from the Lord. He knows everything you do, even in your darkest little hidden location. But you know what? He still loves you. All you need to do is come to him. There was a quote I ran across, and I just thought this fits so good. And I quote, and this is speaking of Judas. He would sell his very Savior. And a fair match was made, as Austin said. Judas sold his salvation, and the Pharisees bought their damnation. He had no appreciation of what God valued. He thought that this was too much love and devotion to show Jesus. Mary, on the other hand, was honoring her Savior, unconcerned to the cost to herself. Judas was blinded by his own self-interest. And you know what? Attitudes can become contagious. And I think that's one of the reasons that way back the Lord said, I think Exodus is where I remember it the first time. He told them not to murmur. And what happened? He sent 12 to check out the promised land. 10 came back with a bad report. 2 came back with a good report. But whose report did they follow? They murmured and went with a bad report. So attitudes become contagious. And we're going to find this out in Matthew 26, verse 8. Matthew 26, verse 8. And this is actually the same story. It's just an additional thing that's added that John never said. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Notice that this was done directly for Jesus, not for any of his disciples. Judas embezzled money from the treasury, and it was probably through greed and discontent that the devil gained a foothold in Judas's life. Remember that even the devil was thrown out of heaven because of his greed and his discontent and for power. This restless spirit is still on the earth, causing many to follow it. Because of this, Judas saw one source of personal enrichment and immediately sought to create another. In other words, he's going to go to the Pharisees and the scribes, to the Sanhedrin, and he's going to sell out Jesus for money. Point number 4. We're back in John chapter 12, 7 through 8. Jesus defends Mary and explains what she did. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Jesus commands the beauty of Mary's devotion and credits her perception as a timely act of devotion. The time of Jesus' passion has come. Tomorrow will be too late. Jesus needed her timely compassion at that very moment more than anyone else on earth. How many times does Jesus teach that the total gift of giving oneself in love to your neighbor is the sum and the substance of all the commandments? Mary memorializes Jesus, his burial, by anointing his body with perfume. Can you picture Jesus still smelling that alabaster jar of anointing oil upon him as he is being beaten, as he is being accused, as he is put on the cross? He can smell the anointing of the alabaster jar. A gripping fact is that she is telling Jesus through her act that he will die as a criminal, because only criminals' bodies are denied anointing with aloes, spice, and perfumes after death. Her act of love will sustain him in his darkest moment of disgrace. Let's read Mark chapter 14, verse 9, because this gives you an additional remark that Jesus made at this time. Mark 14, 9, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Jesus' own response secures Mary's permanent position in human history. She was devoted to the one who would die to set her free from the penalty of sin. She is remembered more than anything else for this one noble act of love. And as we learn to devote our lives more and more to the cause of Christ Jesus, we too will want to honor him and express our devotion to him. Will we, like Mary, be remembered for the expensive perfume we have poured on our Savior's feet? And it might not be from the alabaster jar, but it could be the perfume of weeping as we read the stories in the Gospels and throughout Scripture as the Holy Spirit continues to enlighten us. more and more. It might be that we just have tears of gratefulness that despite all we have done, he was willing to go to the cross so that we could be free. As we prepare our hearts this morning to pray for one another, as well as our family, and those that the Lord has commissioned us to pray for, ask yourself this question. What extravagant gesture have you made? Not just to show the world the level of your commitment to Jesus, but to demonstrate to Jesus himself how much you love him. Love is sometimes extravagant. Amen. Anyone who would like to come up for prayer is welcome to.